this psalm. Psalm 21 this evening is our study. Notice it's a psalm of David. We know David was a man after God's own heart. David was raised up to be the king in Israel. But we know that David's hope of salvation was not in David. His hope of salvation was in his king, his God, his Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm taking the title from the words that's found in verse 5. His glory. His glory. Salvation's all about his glory, isn't it? His glory is great in saving sinners. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. His glory is great in thy salvation. Everything around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has to do with his glory. The glory of his grace and the glory of his justice, as we read here a moment ago. We read just a moment ago in 1 Timothy 1 about the blessed gospel of the glory of God. That's the grand design of redemption is what? Glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory, he said in Exodus 33, "Show me thy glory." And the Lord said, "I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Lord, show me your glory. He said, "I will have mercy." Sovereign mercy is his glory. So it leads me to this conclusion. His greatest glory, that is to show mercy, is my greatest need. I need his mercy. We come to our God always as mercy beggars, don't we? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now this psalm, we know, like all the 150 psalms that we have, is another gospel, a gospel psalm. It's the gospel of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's all about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his great glory. His great glory in accomplishing our salvation, for our salvation is called in Scripture, so great salvation. His glory, look at verse 5 again, his glory is great in thy salvation. In saving sinners, he gets all the glory. Thy glory is great in thy salvation. Boy, that's what we need, isn't it? Sinners need salvation. What did we read a moment ago? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Our risen Lord said to those apostles, "All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Wouldn't that be something tonight if the Lord would open our understanding and show us the glory of his salvation? Look at verse 1. "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation." Salvation of the Lord. It's his salvation. "And in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." Now, this is talking about David as a believer. And this is talking about every believer. Every believer has been made a king, priest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in his mercy unto us. We rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But I want to consider this psalm specifically in reference to our blessed Lord. Here is a prophecy of our Savior's joy as a result of the salvation that he would accomplish for his covenant people as a God-man mediator. Make no mistake, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished salvation representing us as our God and as our Savior. And he got the job done. We say that he is God, our God, and our Savior. Like Thomas of old, "Thou art my God and my Savior." He is the King of Kings, and he is our King, isn't he? He is our King. He's King in everything, in everything. Over here in Psalm 74, verse 12, it says, "For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. He is our God and He is our King. God said in Psalm 2, I've set my King upon my holy hill Zion. I've set my King upon my holy hill Zion, and because He's on the throne of absolute sovereignty, the psalmist says here in Psalm 2, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, bow to the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. The King shall joy in thy strength. As our King, you remember Pilate asked Him when He was arrested, the Lord Jesus was arrested and brought before Pilate. And Pilate said, are you a king? Remember what He said? To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Where the word of the King is, there's power. There is absolute sovereign power. Even when He was manifested in the flesh as the God-man mediator, He never stopped being God and King of all the earth. You remember the wise men came and they asked Him, they asked that day, where is He that born King? He was King when He got here. He was King when He was manifested in the flesh. He was born King. He came as King. He lived as King. He controlled all things, even the weather, even the wind, even the dead He raised up, even the lame He made to walk. He lived as King and He died as King. Remember they put an accusation over His cross. Pilate wrote, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And certainly He lived as King. He died as our God and as our King. And He ascended to glory as what? Our King. Our King. Turn one page, Psalm 24. He ascended to glory as our King. Look at verse 7, Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory coming in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory. He ascended to heaven and He seated at the right hand of God. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Well, He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of His people. He is the King of glory. He always has been King because He is God. As the man, Christ Jesus, He looked unto His Father Jehovah for strength to accomplish the work the Father gave Him to do. Turn over here to Psalm 89. Remember Psalm 89, verse 19? Now, as God, He has all power, all strength. But as a God-man mediator, as a real man, He required assistance and help from God Almighty. Look at Psalm 89, 19. Then thou spakest in vision to the Holy One and said, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. I found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Now it's talking about David the shepherd, but it's talking about the greater David. He's anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows as prophet, priest, and king. And our Lord Jesus Christ, having accomplished all of our salvation in the strength of God Almighty, shall greatly, what? Rejoice. Victory is at hand. He won the victory for us. He's not disappointed. He's not defeated. You remember Isaiah 42? He shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged. Why does He rejoice? Mission accomplished. Not mission attempted. Not mission aborted. Mission accomplished. How greatly shall He rejoice in all that accomplished for us. Jehovah planned salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ worked it out, and now He's crowned with all honor and glory, and He gives salvation to whom He will. The risen Lord Jesus Christ greatly rejoices in what He has accomplished, in His work being finished. don't turn, but let me just read this one to you. You remember Hebrews chapter 12? Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. He rejoices in the salvation that he's accomplished for us. Father, I delight to do thy will. He completed all salvation. He prayed in John 17, Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. We rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, who finished salvation for us. I didn't say we rested in his finished work. I'm saying we rested in Christ, who finished the work of salvation for us. Look at verse 2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. What was the heart desire of our Lord Jesus Christ? You remember he said in John chapter 4, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will. Of all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. The Father has given him his heart's desire. Boy, his heart's desire was to finish the Father's work. Remember, even at a very early age, when Joseph and Mary left him in Jerusalem, and they traveled a day's journey, and they thought, uh-oh, where is the child, the Lord? Where is our child, Jesus, the Nazarene? They went back and found him there in the temple, teaching the Pharisees in that day. And he said to his mother, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? That was his heart's desire. That was his heart's desire, to accomplish all the work of redemption. He think of all the work of redemption that was given him to do as a surety, as a Savior, as a sacrifice of the covenant. That was his heart's desire, to accomplish what God gave him to do. And he said on Calvary's tree, what did he say? It's finished. It's finished. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. Everything he prayed for as our mediator, he received from the hand of the Father, because he prayed exactly and perfectly according to the will of God. Remember, if you ask anything according to his will, it'll be done. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed perfectly according to the will of God. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and the saving of his people. Thou hast not withholden the request of his lips. Father, I will that all that you've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That prayer's answered every time a believer is taken to glory. Look at verse 3. Thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. And that word there, preventest, can be rendered preceded him. God the Father preceded him with the blessings of goodness. The blessings of goodness. All spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. A crown. He's crowned with glory and honor. The word here, preventest, is the word precede, or it means to go before. I'll give an example of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or not precede them which are asleep. Before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh to actually accomplish our salvation in the fullness of time, he was sent forth. God the Father purposed, decreed, and preceded his coming with blessings of goodness to his elect before Christ came and before the foundation of the world. For he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Watch it now. According as he chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, given us in Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. Thou preceded him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. God provided the Savior before the fall. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was not the cause of God loving us. He loved us with an everlasting love. His sacrifice was the result of God's eternal love toward us. The death of the Lord Jesus didn't cause God to love us. God had loved us with an everlasting love, and that's the reason the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. His choice of us preceded our believing the gospel. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He said, "You didn't choose me, I've chosen you." Remember, we studied in Acts 13, as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed the gospel. His choice preceded our choice. His choice of us preceded our believing him. His calling us preceded his calling us with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But his calling to us preceded our calling upon him, didn't it? He called us, and then we called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The old grace theologians that I read after, they use this word, prevenient grace. You remember I've told you about that before? Prevenient grace. That is grace preceding grace. Before you ever experienced the grace of God in your heart, in your life, there was prevenient grace. God had always determined and purposed from eternity to show mercy and grace to you. That's what we call prevenient grace. Grace before grace. Grace preceding grace. Grace that goes before and prepares the way and causes us to believe the gospel of the grace of God. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ is crowned with all honor and glory. We're going to sing our closing song, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." And he rightly wears the crown, doesn't he? This same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. At that name every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. What? He is Lord. He's Lord. His crown represents his holy nature, pure gold. His crown represents his total sovereign power. His crown represents the conquest. The crown represents his divine government, the government upon his shoulders. Aren't you glad that God rules all things? I know we have city government, county government, state government, federal government. God rules all things. The government's upon his shoulder. He has dominion from sea to sea. He has all power in heaven and earth. The king's heart, the president's heart, the judge's heart, the governor's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And he turns it whithersoever he will, according to his will. Look at verse 4 now. This is interesting. He asked life of thee, salvation of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. The Son of God, as God, is one with God the Father in his essential power and Godhead, can neither ask or receive anything, for all things are his. As God, all things are his. But he asked of thee, as the God-man mediator, life, salvation, and it was given him. When we see the Son asking Jehovah the Father, giving it to him as the representative head and mediator of the covenant of grace. The Father loveth the Son and given all things into his hand. Now, as God, he has all things. But as the God-man mediator, all things regarding our salvation was given to him to accomplish. The Father loveth the Son, and all things have been put in his hand. All judgments committed to the Son and his glory. Think about this, life, life. He said, "I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "Because I live, you shall live also." He asked life of thee. And he gives us life because he has life to give. He has salvation to give. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. He said, "I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore." even length of days. We have eternal life that he gives us. What kind of life does he give us? Eternal life. Length of days forever and ever and ever. He saves us with an everlasting salvation. Look at verse 5 now. His glory is great. His glory is great in the saving of his people. Honor and majesty God has laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the bottom line of all that he does in saving sinners. That is his glory. He's deserving of all honor and glory, isn't it? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. But let him glory in this, that he knows me, that I am the Lord. And beside me, he said, there is no other. The bottom line in all that God does is his glory and honor. He's the only one that deserves all honor and glory. That's why the song of the redeemed forever and ever is worthy as a lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, and power, both now and forever. The grand design of God's redeeming grace, the grand design of redemption, is his glory, isn't it? His glory. Nothing relating to salvation is of man. That is the universal testimony of Scripture. The universal testimony of Scripture is, we read it over and over again, salvation is of the Lord. He planned it, purposed it, accomplished it. From election to glorification, it's all of the Lord. To the praise of the glory of his grace. God chose us to the praise of his glory. The Son redeemed us to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit regenerates us and seals us all to the praise of his glory. Verse 6. Thou hast made him. Notice the marginal reference. Thou hast made him and set him to be a blessing. God set him to be a blessing. Thou hast made him the most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. The Father has set or decreed that the Lord Jesus Christ is blessed forever, and that his people are forever blessed in him. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him we are complete. Every blessing God has for his people is given to us upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience unto death, his sacrifice, putting away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Thou hast made him or set him to be a blessing. He is a blessing to his people. Thou hast made him exceeding glad. Look at verse 7. The king trusteth in the Lord. The king, the Lord Jesus Christ, trusted in the Father, Jehovah. Through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. The Lord Jesus Christ went about his mediatorial work with unwavering confidence, trusting his Father. The Father and the Father to enable him to accomplish God's purpose. Remember in Isaiah 50 we read, he set his face like a flint when he headed toward Jerusalem. He was not moved from his purpose by his friends or his foes. By his friends or his foes. Remember when he began to tell his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem. I must be betrayed of the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I must lay down my life and I must take it up again. Remember what they said? His friend said, Peter said, don't go. Don't go there. And the Lord said, I must. I must go. I must be about my Father's business. No one could turn him from his purpose. Not his friends, not his foes. To establish righteousness for us, an everlasting righteousness, and to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, Boy, he's not moved. He's not moved one inch from his purpose to accomplish our salvation and doing so in such a way to honor God. His law and his justice satisfied. May the Lord grant us like confidence and trust in our great God. Remember Psalm 62, trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. The king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, well, he's not moved. Not moved away from his purpose to accomplish all our salvation. Now, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, and verse 12, we often see this in the book of Psalms, where it talks about the blessedness to God's people, and then the judgment toward God's enemies. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But what? Uh-oh, the wrath of God. Look at verse 8, 9, 10. We'll just read this. Thy hand shall find out thine enemies. Does God have some enemies? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. His hand, think about his hand. None can stay his hand or say unto him, Lord God, what doest thou? He has big hands. He has righteous hands. Thy hand shall find out all thine enemies, and thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. The carnal mind is enmity against God. He does have enemies. All those enemies will be made to bow at his footstool. He that sitteth in the heavens, you remember the enemies of the Lord, the kings of the earth, and the rulers set themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. They will bow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Thou shalt make them, look at verse 9, as a fiery oven. In the time of thine anger, the anger of the Lord is his holiness stirred into activity against sin. The time of thine anger, the Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath. Boy, what tremendous words these are. His wrath, his anger shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children's. Thinking of a verse over here came to my mind, thinking about, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming to those who are enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his wrath shall devour them. Look at verse 11. For they intend evil against thee. They imagine mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Thank God he restrains them by his grace. Therefore, verse 12, shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. What terrible judgment is coming on everyone who does not rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 13, he closes this psalm with the praise of exaltation. But be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we, what will we do? We'll worship him. So will we sing and praise his power. The power of God to save sinners. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. This is our desire, is it not? His exaltation. It's always right to praise the Lord and to give Him all glory for the salvation He planned, purposed, and accomplished. So we will sing of His power. And to Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood, to Him be all the glory, both now and forever. We will sing of His power now, and we will sing of His power then in that day. We'll worship Him now as He's revealed in the Word, and we'll really worship Him then without any distraction, without any sin, as the Almighty, Holy Lord God, our Savior. So we crown Him as our God, as our King, as our Lord. Be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength. So will we sing and praise Thy power, Thy power. He's the only one that has power. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. He has all power.